Dear visitors of the Order of Time, welcome to this little talk. I would like to address you about current issues in world politics, which are of importance to us. We may fear the future because of the war going on, especially the war in the Middle East. And we try to act to that war by sending troops and making peace and democracy. And there doesn't seem to be any question about it. We just do so and defend peace and righteousness that way. But what are we actually doing if we face an enemy? Mankind, fighting itself, is suffering from a kind of split brain, by which one half, called the enemy, doesn't understand the other half, called the enemy. So, we have two parties, the Western Alliance, Europe, America, and other countries associated with them, and the others, the terrorists, the Islamists, the fundamentalists. These people from both sides call each other the enemy. So mankind, in this respect, has split up in two parties, which is unfortunate. And just like with a schizophrenic patient, is simply exhausting our integrity, even our planet. We have more important things to matter, to harden, than fighting each other. We have to survive on this planet because we have more problems about energy and water and the climate. So we are somehow hindered by this conflict, this international schizophrenia. So I was educated psychologist, and I was also supposed to treat matters of mental disease like these. And it's of course not a patient you can talk to. No individual really feels responsible for it, nor any individual government. Each may feel himself the victim of this situation. We innocent Westerners are attacked by some fanatic group of people who accuse us of all kinds of things like materialism, and we at our side accuse them of indeed madness against the system, which is as it should be according our abilities. So I cannot really talk, nor can anybody, to this mental patient. But what we can do is develop a mind of understanding in the first place, from which we maybe derive a policy, a kind of mind, a kind of association internationally, that would solve this problem. So let's first start with an individual. If an individual suffers something like schizophrenia, you might say that he has disappeared in a delusional world for himself, which is in total chaos. depending on the type of schizophrenia. Such a person hears voices or has hallucinations or suffers all kinds of fears and emotional uncontrol, emotional imbalance. And so how can we help such a person? Well, in case of the individual patient, we have a famous therapist for such a case, and that therapist is called Jesus Christ. He once met a man on the road. His name was Legion. He was a schizophrenic. He heard voices. He was possessed by many voices, devils. So Jesus laid his hand upon him and said to that demon, or to those demons, leave this man, go into the pigs who were nearby. And then he sent the pigs into the abyss. They fell to death. The man was cured. His name was still Legion, but his love became one. So if he follow the example of Jesus, if I do so, then I would say to the world at hand, putting my hand for it down, please world, with your love for me, may your being possessed by many voices end, and may your evil spirits go into the pigs and let the pigs to their own fate, so that your love is unified, even though your name is still Legion. Okay, this is a nice abstract exercise in minding the schizophrenic patient that is the world. So what do we make of this concrete? We as world citizens are fighting ourselves. We are desperate in some places in Africa and in Iraq and in Afghanistan and other places that are not so well known. Chechnya, civil unrest in Russia, and this opposition we want to end somehow, peacefully, by means of reason. So for this purpose, we need a kind of love that unifies us, a philosophy of association, of unification, that does justice to both parties. If we study the conflict of the world, and if we boil it down to the Muslim fundamentalist and the Christian materialist, then we must say that these people, these different cultures, you and I and we and them, have different types of logic. The Muslim reasons from a religious point of view. You could call that a substantive causality. We, to the cause of the substance of the person, one reasons for the sake of an integrity, for the sake of, in fact, liberation. These Muslim fighters do not just fight for the integrity of Allah and Muhammad. They fight to serve the cause. So this is a type of logic they follow. This is the logic of liberation. The Westerners also have a type of logic. And at their best, they are positive about their scientific control. Religion is considered, outdated, overhauled. And now scientific enlightenment should rule the world, according to these thinkers. And I do agree with that. It is an historical matter that science has followed Christian religion that got reformed in the middle, at the end of the Middle Ages. So this is another type of logic. And the Westerner has a positive kind of mind, which we could call sobering. Yeah? We have to sober up, become free from illusion. In the eyes of the Westerners, the Muslim fundamentalist is an illusion person. He thinks he can impose his will upon other adults, which doesn't even work with a fly, does it? So they consider that an illusion state of mind. And in a way, they are correct. This is so. You cannot impose your religion upon others. And, well, still, it is the case that the Muslims, the Muslim fundamentalists, they simply seek a job. They want to serve the cause and fight sin in the world. And they follow the enlightened mind, not as much as the spiritual person would do, but they are liberated in the service of it. The enlightened mind is of God and of the Prophet, and they serve that, and that is correct. But do they see the simple positive truth of what the West sees? The Westerner sees a man of illusion who thinks he can impose his will upon others, and the Westerner knows this is not possible. It is very difficult to understand each other's opinions and to arrive at a good government the democratic way, and it is quite pointless to an illusioned opinion, delusional state, to think that you can rule out every other opinion for the sake of your type of religion. Nor does it hold any water to say that the Westerners would be godless. Of course they are not. They are Christians. Christ is a man of God, which Muhammad acknowledged. So it is a kind of madness of religious people fighting religious people. So there's something wrong with the religious mind in the first place. If you consider the West religious, it is religion fighting religion. If we consider the West materialistic, it is religion fighting materialism. That makes more sense and gives an easy motivation. But, the Western scientists and politicians are still, for a great part, for an important part, are they Christians, deriving laws from Christian values, like being truthful, like being non-possessive, sharing everything with a good social security system, with on the condition of a certain kind of commitment. And there's no reason to kill righteous people. So the solution for Mr. Legion suffering this internal mind of the wish to serve God and the wish to be sober with God, if we consider the West the sincere effort to be sober and to see things as they are, which is not as easy as it might seem, then maybe we are getting a bit closer to what we may call a solution. The sober person and the Muslim have much in common. They are just as well the same individual. The sobriety of Islam is about the prayer times tuned to nature. And they derive from the natural consciousness, from the natural state of sun and moon, and that is the strength, the backbone of their religion. And science, in fact, agrees with that. That is the valid notion, although it doesn't practice this, not as explicit as the Muslim does. Still, both suffer the same problem of not being quite sober. The West supposes it can impose its notion of democracy upon the Muslim. And the Muslim thinks it's realistic to have a plan of imposing Islam on apparent other believers who will never be convinced, of course, because each religion has its own independence and place in history. So what we have to understand is that between these two positions of liberation and the sober approach, there's a third position, the position of analysis and transcendence, the position in which we become a pure witness, tuning to the moment, deriving from what one calls the enlightened mind. And that middle position is the third buffer between these two parties, like having two brains and a bridge, a callosum, between those brains. In that callosum, in that bridge, we are bound to a certain culture of knowledge which binds the two forces of sober facts and the wish to serve God, the person of God, the integrity of God. It is not incommensurable, I think it's the word. These two opinions go very well together in a classical notion of order that I call philognosy, the love of knowledge, which is derived from India, where God is considered threefold, from three modes and three disciplines and three types of God. And this also makes up the integrity of God, the way the Hindu thinks about it. So I speak much in defense of the Hindu as the peacemaker between the Christian and the Muslim fighting, being schizophrenic and confused, or in search of the integrity of peace, because I believe that everybody is striving for peace. So it's about the strategy of finding this peace. So this strategy we call philognosy. The positions are that of enlightenment, spiritual union, thinking it authentically from oneself to the moment, as I speak now, the liberation in religion, which is the desire to serve that position of the prophet or the man of God or the man of knowledge or the mystical philosopher, and the position of the sober person who wants to be truthful and non-illusioned to the facts. The answer thus is given, and the practice we will discuss further. Thank you for your attention.